Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am Mike Vardy, and this is part two of the contexts conversation. And, you know, I mean, we've got Lee Garrett on a little bit later to talk about his idea of context. And, of course, I've got some of your ideas of context that you sent my way, both through the blog and through Patreon. For the Patreon supporters that are out there, thanks so much. You'll be getting your shout-outs at the end of the show. But, you know, I just can't wait to introduce the first guest because, frankly, this beer is getting warm. Mr. Schechter, say hello to the crowd.
I'm back, baby. Didn't I like quit this and abandon you? I thought there was something with that.
You did. But you know, we're doing it again, one more time, an encore.
That's what I'm saying.
So we'll bring back the segment just for the purposes of you know, I want to keep the show brief. We only do it. We do 30 minutes, you know, and if you and I talk too long, that the introduction can be 30 minutes. So
I don't want to ruin your precious podcast.
So in order to keep things, I don't want to call it, what are you drinking? So I'm like, what beer do you have?
I've got myself a nice double IPA, an Omni Apollo Nebuchadnezzar, you know, ship from the Matrix. Always a good thing. Really, really nice, boozy and hoppy IPA. I'm a happy camper. What about you?
I've got Coolerophobia, which is an India Red Ale made by Phillips. And I got it because there were clowns on the bottle. Let's face it. I mean, it's a nice beer, too. Make no mistake. But yeah, clowns on the bottle, never a bad thing.
So. Ooh, you know what I finally found? And while you're in, you just told me you're going to be in San Francisco, you should try to get a bottle of this. I finally had a Pliny the Elder.
Yeah, I saw that on, was it on Instagram you shared it or whatever?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good, Marty.
See, I've got to get that. And I've got some beer actually apparently waiting for me in San Francisco. One of my clients knows I'm a beer fan, and at the hotel that I'm going to be staying at for the night, they're gonna have beer waiting there for me, which I think is awesome.
That's a good client.
It is right a good there. Client. But I want to talk a bit about when I talked about contexts a few weeks ago, it kind of started a Twitter conversation, which, you know, and when those happen, and they do happen frequently, but this one went on for a while where Kevin Rothermel got involved and Sven Fechner got involved. And of course, these guys were on last week, but I want to talk to you about like context and kind of dig into it a little bit, as well as, you know, now that you're back doing the writing stuff again and stuff, like, have you started to maybe take a look at how your contexts are fitting in again, or like, how is that working for you in terms of what context you're using?
Well, you and I have certainly talked context to death, and you know, mm-hmm. I'm a little weird with them. I mean, at the moment, I only really use two, one for work and one for home, so that I can just sort of, when I'm at work, see my work dashboard, mm-hmm. and when I'm at home, see my home dashboard. I've been playing around. I read Sven's post on it recently, and I've been playing around with his chase context, like for, you know, when you're trying to track people down, but I'm not even sure that's going to stick. I always tend to get a little curious and then always come back to the same thing.
Right. So basically at this point, now you use OmniFocus though. So why wouldn't you just use a home and work as perspectives and then maybe have a little bit deeper context?
Okay. So this is the fight I always get in people when they tell me this. And the thing is, you know this. I mean, occasionally I'll need to do something quickly for home at work, and occasionally I'll need to do something for work at home. And mm-hmm. for me, it's not really... I look at those as like the horizons of focus. So, and I'm probably getting off topic for you, but it's like, you know, I have my personal stuff. I have my work stuff. I have my family stuff. That's all sort of my folder structure. But I still find there are things for home that I do at work and things for work that I do at home.
Right.
And honestly, having that separated and using it as a context for me made a big difference. I never really connected to the energy level ones. It's just, I honestly, the weight of actually putting those onto a task in the first place, at least for me, wouldn't be worth having it. You know, for me to look at a task, it doesn't take my brain that long to go, yeah, I'm exhausted right now. It's really not a good idea to write that strategy document. I'm probably better off checking off the easy boxes. But, you know, it's one of those things where I continually try. I know I'm probably, quote unquote, doing it wrong, but it works.
Well, and see, here's one of the things I've been experimenting with lately. Yeah, I still use my energy level context, but because like you said, you do work at home and home at work sometimes, you know, you do personal stuff. And I've found that lately the context, like writing as a context and planning as a context, are really working for me. And I know that those are technically, you know, actions, but because I write for a variety of places and because I'm planning, like obviously productivity is growing and I need to focus on that kind of stuff, those contexts kind of give me the ability to like hone in on things. I can use those. I mean, yes, in OmniFocus you could create perspectives.
Okay, but I'm going to be mean. I'm going to cut you off because I don't understand this. write the freaking tasks that way. I mean, search is built into OmniFocus for a reason. Anything, if I want to see all of my things I need to email, all the things I need to call, all of the meeting notes I need to write up, I consistently write my tasks so that I can use search. And basically for me, I do it in line. If it's, the people involved in something, the action, write, call, draft. I mean, that's all there so that if I want to consistently search that, I don't need to just add, really, to me at least, wasteful metadata.
Nah, see, for me, it puts me in a mode, though, right? Writing mode, planning
mode. Okay, but hold on. How is A, going to the context right, different than B, searching for the word right? And yes, I know the weird argument you're probably going to make that right might be in the middle of a different thing and one task might show up that doesn't belong there, but come on, that's BS.
No, well, I don't think it's BS. I think for me what it is, and keep in mind the task app I use allows for multiple labels, right? So I have a task.
Which I think are dangerous.
I know you do, but again, it's a human thing, right? So for me, I will never put more than two labels on a thing, right? Because that's kind of the way perspectives work to a certain extent in OmniFocus, right? You want to make sure that you don't have it too granular because then you're just really so hyper-focused and some things can fall through the cracks. No, for me, I don't use... See, the word write appears in a lot of stuff, like write, post for that. But writing is a mindset. It's a mode for me, right? So I don't use the word write as a label or context. I use writing, and planning is the same thing. And there's only a few of these that I use it with. And the reason I use those ones are because they are kind of integral to what I'm doing. They're something that if all else fails, right? Like if I'm like, oh man, I'm spinning my wheels. I'm doing a lot of these low energy tasks, because that's the other thing you can end up doing is if you're not honest with yourself, like, oh, I'll just knock out a bunch of low energy tasks and then boom, I'm super productive. But it kind of puts me in that mode. So I look at those labels or context as sort of modalities as opposed to, verbs to a certain extent. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, the verb and the task, it has always been enough to get out to what I need to do.
Right, right. And that makes sense. I mean, this is the great thing about context, right, is that it's a subjective thing, right? I mean, energy levels don't work for you. And I mean, I've used, when I've talked to people, I say a high energy and low energy. And for a while, I had normal energy, which was, I realized, was just like a cop-out.
I don't think any of your energy is normal.
I didn't want to say regular, that's for sure.
Yeah, no.
but others like brain dead and full focus, like a lot of people like that, because the brain dead is just like, it's a word that they can connect with as opposed to low energy, which is, that there's a lot more there.
The truth of the matter is, I'm super cranky about this just for me. Mm-hmm. The reality is if what you're doing is working and actually making something come out of you, it doesn't matter. I mean, to me, I always recommend, like, I don't really recommend you start with, the true, like, what originally were contexts, where it was like email, mm-hmm. iPhone, Mac, because the devices are so overlapping at this point. Yep. It gets, to me, that I'll just be honest, it's sort of useless. Like, there's pretty much most things I can do on my phone, I can do on my Mac, I can do on my iPad, and they burned out, but it's, try one set of things. I think to me the biggest bit of confusion when it comes to context is having like three or four different versions that you're trying to do at once. Yeah. And more than anything, it's not even for the ability to search it down, it's, and maybe this is different when you're using multiple contexts, I'm obviously thinking about this through the lens of OmniFocus, mm-hmm. but if I got to a task and then had to think, do I want this to be a device? Do I want the context to be a person? Or do I want the context to be an energy level? That's adding friction to every task I want to do. And right. For me, at least, the goal is get the thing out of my brain, get it into something as fast as possible, and not have to go through the process later on of then processing it. I like the entry and the process to be the same step, which is why I had to par down to such a minimal context. But man, whatever works, go for it. But just be careful, because I think people get a little crazy with their context.
Before I let you go, what do you think about apps as context? Because again, like you said, there's overlap between devices at this point. So for example, if people want to really start writing in Scrivener, they'll use Scrivener as a label or context, because that way they make sure that they're drawn to that as opposed to opening up Word or Evernote as the place that they know that they put all of their notes. Like, what do you think about that idea? I mean, again, I guess whatever works, but I think that that's...
I don't know that I'd use it as context. I think that's the wrong word for it. I don't mind the idea of intentions for apps. I agree with you. Like, for me, NVAlt is where I blog and capture, and I do capture some ideas. Evernote for me is where I capture reference materials, and knowing why I'm going into an app for me has always been good. Like, I'm not a fan of, even if the app is well designed to do this, I mean, Evernote is probably a really good example of trying to shove everything into one app, because then again, it's that same level of friction. I mean, for me, it's, you know, NBL to write my stuff down, Evernote to manage my ideas for larger projects, you know, Scrivener's right there. And I agree with you. I think they put you into a different mindset. But again, to really think through your tasks that way, I don't know that I would ever look at the app as that, because then there's no trigger to bring you back to that app.
Right, right. I hear you.
To me, I think it's when you're actually doing, it's when you've decided, okay, I want to write. What is the mindset you need to write? When you want to, you know, just go through your email, what is the mindset that you want to do? And I think that is where what you're talking about, where having the right app for the right moment can go a really long way.
Yeah, don't think about the action. Let the action make you think.
I have no idea what you just said.
And that's a great place to wrap up. Hey, where can people find you now? Because now we're not doing the show anymore. So you're going to pop by regularly. That's one thing I promise my listeners, is like, a lot of people are like, oh, man, you know.
Did you really promise or is that a threat to them?
It's you know what?
No, you know, I am writing back at Better Mess again. I've been hitting about one post a week, which is nice. But having fun doing that again. I miss writing, Vardy. I mean, as much as I enjoyed talking to you, he lied. I'm really enjoying writing again. So it's been nice, and kind of starting to get the what I want to write about. And now I start need to get into the tactical stuff. So I'm excited. It's keeping me energized.
And you are M. Schechter on the Twitter again.
I am. Well, I've never not been M. Schechter.
You just never not. But now you're more present.
Was I not present? I guess I wasn't using it much.
I mean, I think that
it's been busy.
You know what? Yeah, I mean, you and me both. But it's cool to be able.
That's my context. Busy.
Busy is a context. That's what I should have called this episode.
It's a mindset, a context, and a reality all in one. One nice little package.
All right, man. Thanks for joining me this week.
Later, bud.
All right, I'd like to thank Mr. Schechter for joining me this week on the podcast. Now, before we get to Lee Garrett to close out the show, I want to thank everybody that has been sponsoring and supporting the show via Patreon. I've got a couple of people that I want to thank in particular, two new $10 supporters who are getting a shout out on the show. We have Jeffrey. Thanks, Jeffrey, so much for chipping in. And also, I'm going to pronounce this, I hope, correct. And if I get this wrong, just send me an email to podcast@productivityist.com and I'll fix it next time. But it's Tariq. So I'd like to thank Jeffrey and Tariq for sponsoring podcast, for supporting the podcast. That's happened since our last episode. So as you can see, we've got a couple of people that have jumped on just since we last broadcast. So if you're interested in becoming a supporter and helping me take things to the next level, hopefully eventually I'll be able to do some live streaming, maybe take some calls, do some video, all that stuff once I get into the new studio downstairs. Remove ads from the equation. This week we don't have a sponsor. I am actively pursuing sponsors. So if you're interested, again, podcast@productivityist.com. You can reach out to me there. But if you are interested in just supporting the podcast, chipping in what you can, even as little as a buck per month, really, it's not even per episode, it's per month. You could do so at patreon.com/productivityist. Now, I want to touch base with some of the people who sent me their contexts. And I want to talk about the people who did it initially via the newsletter that I sent out. So there'll be a link in the show notes about the newsletter where I basically solicited people to tell me what context they use. And so we have one from Gregory Smith, who says that he basically has been going back and forth with contexts ever since the early days of developing kind of his own spin on GTD and how it impacts his daily workflow. Works a couple of jobs in four different sites, does things out of his home office. So he's got to keep things kind of organized, but yet moving forward without bottlenecks that can show up. So the context that he uses on a day-to-day basis, and he sent me a PNG of it. So he's got, you know, more traditional contexts. So he's got like Apple TV, which I assume he's going to use for like movies and music and photos and stuff like that. He's got home, iPad, iPhone, MacBook Air, Office HC, Office Home, Office MC. So again, those are two separate, all three locations, plus there's a fourth office he's listed there, as well as online and out and about. So those are his contexts. So very traditional, But I don't know if he's gone to like some of the energy level ones that we've seen crop up, or even the ones that I mentioned to Schechter. There are more modalities than anything else. But those are the ones he's been using. So thanks to Gregory for sending that my way. And then finally, we've also got one from Alexander, who sent me a series of his context. So he's got different contexts for different meetings, so which is kind of interesting. So basically, he's got a context for each type of regular meeting. So like a stand-up, the sprint, sprint retrospective, sprint review, grooming. So he's really like kind of distilled down his context in terms of meeting type, which is good, because then what he can do is say, hey, these are the tasks or these are the items I want to bring up in this type of meeting, in that type of meeting. So he can really kind of distill that down a little bit better. Of course, I use errands, he uses by, but it works the same way. Different physical contexts, home, office, school. So traditional location-based context. And then he's got, you know, kind of, again, times of day. So lunch break, way home, way office. So commute or you know, different times of day that he can use as context. Then the computer, which is honestly one of those contexts that I think is going to eventually become, and I think it already has become one of those contexts where it's just too difficult to track down, which is why I use apps in a lot of ways. Because, I mean, you can do a lot of stuff on your iPad or your iPhone or your tablet or whatever. So he also has that. He's got people that he uses, so colleagues. He's got a goals context, which I know a lot of people are using. Just so it's kind of like the someday maybe context, but a bit more aspirational, as opposed to just like something that you just kind of put out there, and also the waiting for. So those are all of the contexts that he's got. Now, he did use low energy, but no real feedback. I'm wondering, Alexander, if you're listening, if you want to fire back to me via an email at podcast@productivityist.com, whether or not you've actually seen something come up from that. And finally, we do have somebody that mentioned it when I had the post for the evolution of context on the blog. Damian Castillo mentioned what he uses. So he's a longtime GTD practitioner, and he doesn't follow it to the letter anymore, but he's figured out what works and what doesn't. So he was using all the contexts that are basically resource-based and location-based, but now he's started to lean towards time and energy. And again, he makes a good point. It's not 100% bulletproof, especially since you have to be really, really honest with yourself. So, and he didn't take into account time constraints, you know, so he would say that some things would take 30 minutes, ended up taking almost 2 hours. So energy was the one that worked over the long haul. So time really didn't work, but energy was one that he's been using. So he's been using GTD for years. The methodology and principles are still great. So one thing that he makes a point of saying, and this is a good point to take into account, which kind of falls outside the context conversation, but capture, get everything out of your head and into a trusted system. That's one of the two most important things that have never changed, and do a weekly review. So thanks to Damian for putting that on the blog there. So there you have, there's some stuff that came in from you. If you, by the way, I'm going to start to field some questions. So if anyone wants to send some questions my way that they want to have addressed on the podcast or maybe topics that you want me to cover, send them to podcast@productivityist.com. Those who are Patreon supporters will definitely get first look. I'm not gonna kid you there. That's one of the perks. But if you send me something, I'll take a look at it and maybe we can bring it up in a future podcast. Well, now we're gonna wrap things up and we're gonna talk to Lee Garrett from Solium Says, and we're gonna get out his ideas on what he thinks of context and ones that he uses and ones that he finds useful right here on the Productivityist podcast. All right, now we've got Lee Garrett on the show to talk about, and Lee, I want to get your thoughts on context. You just you wrote a post about the context. You were involved in the Twitter thread as well that we were having, and first off, where can people find you on the internet if they want to explore beyond what we're going to discuss here?
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm actually growing at the moment. I can you can always get me on Twitter at Solium Says, and my website is www.soliumsays.com, and I'm also guesting on podcasts at the moment for the British Tech Network.
Awesome. So over at Solium Says, you talk about your OmniFocus context. So you're an OmniFocus user, and what I found interesting is in the Twitter thread that we were exchanging back and forth, you kind of use the base definition, you know, the conventional traditional definition of context. What you said was, you know, you base your work on location, energy, time, or equipment available. So can you go over, and then you mentioned before we started recording, by the way, that you've got your calendar kind of tied into that. So can you kind of explain that to everybody listening?
Yeah, so essentially what it is my brain has to do an awful lot of work during the day, an awful lot of work. I run an IT consultancy, and in order to be able to do that, I've got to be on top of my game with regards to so many different technologies. You know, we provide virtualization services, Windows Server services, routing, switching, SAN, VoIP, wireless, you know, the works. And I've got to be 100% on top of my game with all of those, because they're always changing, they're always evolving. And I don't want to be spending time during the day thinking about what I need to do next. Mm-hmm. So basically, in OmniFocus, I've got my context set up as such. First of all, I look at where I am. So am I at home in home mode, or am I at work? Simple. Then I move into how much energy I've got. I'll say, right, am I up for it? Am I able to do like a full focus task? You know, so I've got a design piece that I need to do, or I need to provide a really, really detailed report for a client that's going to completely wow them. Or, you know, is it after lunch? Am I in that sort of, oh, you know, do I really have to be at work sort of mode that we all get into sometimes? So I've got a context there that's called low energy. And then I'll move one stage forward after that, and it'll be, what equipment have I got? Do I need to do this particular task on my MacBook Pro? Can I do it on a mobile device? Do I need to be sitting there physically pushing paper? And essentially, my context work just like that. It's very, very simple. I don't want to be thinking about what I need to do. I want OmniFocus to tell me what I can do.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is that the contexts are supposed to kind of guide you when projects can't. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, and yeah, and so many people don't, what'll happen, and this is what happens all the time, especially with an app like OmniFocus, at least that I've found, is that they'll overload it. They'll say, I'm going to throw all my projects in here. And then when they first start exploring context, they start to make as many as possible. And until they kind of refine them, and the piece I wrote over at Productivityist called the, you know, the evolution of context, I talk about what Merlin was even doing, Merlin Mann was doing back, you know, yeah, we're talking like, you know, gosh, 6 years ago now, or even, no, even longer, I think 8 years ago, where he basically said, okay, look, you may need to simplify your context a bit. And did you go crazy with context and then whittle them down, or did you just build them out slowly but surely?
No, I didn't use context at all until I read, you know, the Bible as such. I don't think it's blasphemous to be able to say that it influences my life more than the actual Bible does. David Allen's Getting Things Done book is just phenomenal. And I didn't touch context at all until I started reading that. Now, I only work with context. That's all I use. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that there's actually a bug in the OmniFocus iOS app at the moment, which says that whenever you it's something they're working on, but I'm not actually that urgent for them to fix it, because if you create your own perspective in either the Mac or the iPad version, the only ones that will display on your iOS device are context-based perspectives as opposed to project-based perspectives. So if you create a project-based perspective on your Mac, which basically will give you a list on the left-hand side of the different projects that you're currently running, it won't show on your iOS device. Whereas if you create one that's context-based and will only show you the different context that you've set your perspective up for, bang, it's going to work.
See, I don't consider that a bug. I consider that a feature.
No, I love that. they're looking at changing that, obviously, because some people, you know, we're all different, you know.
Well, but we all start that way, though, right? We all start, like, we're wired to think by project, because it's something like, go write this book. Okay, that's something I can wrap my head around. It's harder to wrap your head around, or at least be honest about energy levels. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not something that you can grab onto right away. Whereas a project is very objective oriented, you know, even when you're working in a team-based environment, which is one of the reasons why I don't use OmniFocus any longer, is because I work in a lot of team-based and collaborative stuff. The thing is that the team can look at a project and they can all say, okay, this is the objective. This is what we need to do. But then they can each look it through their contexts and say, well, how do we approach this work so that we can do the best possible, you know, effort, give the best possible effort and be the most effective and efficient. And that's where, you know, you'll look at things and say, you know, well, I need full focus and this is the device I use. For me, devices are irrelevant in a lot of ways, because if I'm writing, then I know what app I need to be in, so on and so forth. And by the same token, so it doesn't matter what device I'm on, right? Like, so it's really, again, it's very subjective. Context can be very subjective, whereas project-based views are generally very objective.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And the only problem I have with project-based sort of perspectives is wherever I am, I would have to think about what I'm going to do next, right? What project am I going to work on? Whereas it's much easier for me with context-based ones because all I've got to think about is where I am. And I don't even need to think about where I am. I know, I just look around. Hey, I'm at home. So let's see what I can do while I'm at home.
When you capture stuff, do you capture stuff on paper at all, or are you strictly going digital at this point?
I'm pretty much digital only. It's straight into drafts. I've always got my phone on me. It's always right. In charge. I've got mobile chargers always on with me just in case it's running down. Although, obviously, with the iPhone 6, it's not so much of a problem now.
Right.
All in drafts.
Right. So, I mean, so if someone, just to give some, to wrap this part up, is if someone's trying to get their head wrapped around context, that they can start using contexts, whether they're ones that you've kind of put out there, the more traditional component ones, or you're going to go a little bit more further afield, what do you recommend they do?
Take it easy, first of all. Basically, if you follow David Allen's advice and you just jot everything down, everything in your head, and just get it out of your head, because obviously, you know, your head is a place for having ideas. It's not a place for keeping them, as he says quite succinctly. Mm-hmm. And if you go through each one and say, right, where do I need to be in order to be able to do that? Because the first time, you know, when I was first creating to-do lists, they'd be sort of 50, 60 pieces long. And by the time I've actually read all the way down to the bottom, I've had another emergency that's come up and, you know, it's overtaken everything that I've read at the top and it's pointless having a to-do list. Whereas if I can just knock out 80% of those tasks because I can't do them anyway, you know, what's the point in having a task that says mow the lawn if I'm sitting in the office, but I'm still reading a task that says mow the lawn, you know, it's ridiculous. So first of all, I would just separate them between location and just say, right, where are you? And then knock out half of your tasks and then you will simplify it to your own sort of measures.
It's interesting when you say where you're at. It's almost once you start to really dive into context, the where becomes more of a state than a location. So it can be a location, right? Like where? Oh, I'm you know at the mall. What can I do here? Or where am I mentally? Where am I physically?
That's a fantastic new part of OmniFocus is we've got the shopping center that's just up the road. And forever and a day, I was only realizing I needed new batteries at home when the kids come up to me and say, Dad, I need some batteries in this. I'm like, oh, right, yeah, okay, I'll get them when I go to the store sort of thing. Now, as I'm going past the store, it will say, hey, look, you're near the local shopping center. You know, you really need to go and get some batteries, go and buy some, you know. And OmniFocus Mobile will just do that for me, and I just love that. Right. Need some milk? Yeah, it's going to tell me, you know. Location-based sort of geolocation context that, they're fantastic.
And Todoist has adopted them as well. And there's a few others that are out there that'll do them. But yeah, you're right. Once that was it was a bit of a game changer. Hey, Lee, so people can find you. Best way is on Twitter at Solium Says. That's the best way for people to find you, at least
absolutely.
At this point. Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely. And like I say, you know, they can always contact me on my website, www.soliumsays.com.
Awesome. Thanks for joining me to talk context.
Not a problem.
And that's how the podcast went down. That is our conversation, a big two-parter on context. I'd like to thank all of our guests over the past two episodes, Sven Fechner, Kevin Rothermel, Michael Schechter, of course, and Lee Garrett for joining me. Again, all of my Patreon supporters, thanks so much for being part of the show. You are a big part of why I get to do what I do. And you know, seeing that ticker increase every week is a really nice sign. So again, if you want to support by any means necessary, you can go to patreon.com/productivityist. We will be back next week with a whole brand new episode with maybe a little bit of context talking there, but the whole theme won't be context, so that's good. Anyway, this has been Mike Vardy for the Productivities Podcast. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll...